We were looking at a theme this year, and the Lord kind of gives me themes every year. And but I want to tell you, His heart is so much bigger for us than what words can describe. But I'm asking, and have asked and prayed, and we've agreed to pray for the Lord to open up our eyes and our ears. And to show us the big heart of God for what He has for us for 2026. And the theme is acceleration, restoration. And I've just shared this with a little bit with our leadership, but with a couple of pastors outside, because we minister to pastors just to encourage them. And the response I got from them makes me want to explain what acceleration, restoration means. Because their first response, a number of them, was, oh, that means you're going to really crank them up to work harder, serve more, pray harder. And I said, no, that's not the direction we're going at all on this. Because it's not by our might, it's not by our power, but it's by the Spirit. It's the power, the wisdom, the moving of the Spirit. The revelation that the Holy Spirit gives us of Jesus, that's what causes us to receive. Let's all say this word together, grace. Here we go, grace. It's by grace. It's by unmerited favor that we get to enjoy anything and everything from God. But I want to tell you this, His unmerited favor is way beyond human limitation. It's way beyond the restrictions of this earthly world. And so in order for us to capture the hope and the heartbeat of all that the Lord wants to do in our life, Freedom Life Fellowship, in your family, in your life, we got to look beyond this world. Let's look at the Word. Let's see Jesus. And let's ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come. Open our hearts. Open our ears. Open our eyes to see You and hear You. And Lord, we want to say yes to You today for all that You have for us right here. And all the people said, amen. Amen and amen. Every year, God wants His people to be prepared and to flow with Him in what He's doing. I had someone come to my house recently, just a few weeks ago, and they're kind of connected to us. They know some of the same history, same leadership in the past. They don't attend, but they're kind of connected. But they were, seemed like on a, it was really important to them for me to respect their journey. Now look, we need to hear each other's journey so we can kind of identify and know each other. That's important. This guy spent 2 hours telling me about his story. A lot of name dropping. You know that happens, brother. And I'm not throwing that out the window. It helps us kind of identify with our history. But there's a lot of name dropping, a lot of stories that's kind of interrelated with some of us for 2 hours. At the end of 2 hours, I said, so what is God doing now? No answer. I don't know. What does God want to do in your life in 2026? Anybody, I don't know. I probably need some ministry in a couple areas to get lined out because I'm kind of off track. Now see, that's a problem. Thank God for the past. Thank God for our history. Thank God for our legacy. I started to send Matthew a picture of my grandfather was a pastor, my great-grandfather, and I have a picture of my great-grandfather and great-great-grandfather that were pastors. And I want to tell you, I started to send that to you. So thank God for legacy. Thank God for godly heritage. Thank God, because I hear this when I go to churches sometime. Well, this is what the Lord did in 19 so-and-so at this church. Thank God for that. Nothing wrong with it, a whole lot right with it. But let me tell you something. We can't move forward. Get with me on this. We can't move forward looking in the rearview mirror. Praise God for what He's done in the past. As a matter of fact, the Israelites, according to the Word, got in trouble because they forgot what God did. And so it's important for us to relate and to practice remembering. It's just very, very important that we don't park in the past. Because God's doing a new thing. God wants to do much more. Let's not limit the Lord. It's very, very important that we capture the heartbeat of the Lord. We can't move forward looking in the rearview mirror. Thank God for the past. Now look, there's bad in all of our past. Paul's very clear about that. Forget the past. Press toward the Lord. Toward the mark. Okay, because the Lord has a healing process for us that heals us from the past. The past doesn't have to determine our future or limit our future. Somebody say amen to that. And so it's very, very important that we celebrate the works of the Lord, be thankful and respect and honor the past. But I've got to say this, because I've had to say this to a couple of pastors recently, and it goes like this. The success in your past does not qualify you for the move of God in the future. Because it's not about you. It's not about us. Here we go, here we go. It's about Jesus. And so there is a fresh wave of grace. I'm going to share this with you in February. There's a fresh wave of grace that God's doing. And our part is to experience and receive the fresh wave of God. And so that's vital. So what is God doing now? What does he want to do? Now look, we're supposed to be in step with what God's doing. As a matter of fact, it's like I tried to help this man that was at my house, is that if you're not aware of what God's doing now in your life or what God wants to do, it's going to be a whole lot harder for you to cooperate. It's going to be a whole lot harder for you to consent. And that's very, very important in a walk with the Lord, because we need to follow the shepherd. And so you can be in step with the times, but it's okay. That'll look different for different churches. We don't have to compare ourselves to another church. We don't. God's doing a unique thing here. We just want to be a part of what God's doing here, because if we receive what God's doing here, it's going to bless the overall body of Christ. Amen. And so it's very, very important that you're anchored to the rock. Yes, be in step with the season and what God's doing, but always be anchored to the rock, and the rock is Jesus is the rock. And so that's why we got to understand. Now, there was a tribe, the sons of Issachar. I tried to practice that. It comes out different every time. But listen, here's the deal. I got to say quickly. Different tribes had different giftings. All the tribes, with all their giftings, with the touch and the anointing and the presence of God, nothing was impossible. Didn't matter the size of the enemy, how many, where, whatever. And I want to tell you, different tribes got different gifts. Now, we've got an amazing leadership team here, different giftings when we sit around the table. It's beautiful to see. But we all know that it's the ultimate gift, Jesus Christ, that makes it work. And so that's very important. For example, I'm going to tell you about the sons of Issachar. Count how many times I say it different. But the tribe of Benjamin, for example, they were gifted in warfare. As a matter of fact, according to Scripture, they were left-handed warriors. Now, that's unique, but it was unique how the Lord used them. They were left-handed warriors, and we would call them, in our day, in Texas, we'd call them expert marksmen, because that's the way the Word of God describes them. They were experts with the sling, and they could take a sling, and within a hair's breadth, they would hit the target. They were known to be expert marksmen. Somebody say snipers. Yeah, they were the snipers of the day. Not only with slingshots, but according to the Word of God, with bows and arrows. And so by all means, they had a gifting that was beneficial. Sons of Issachar did also. Listen at this. This is 1 Chronicles 12:32. And the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. Their chiefs were 200. Now, let me say, they're the smallest tribe. Smallest in number. Very strategic for the nation. Because they knew, had discernment of what God was doing and what needed to be done. They had discernment and wisdom. You want to describe wisdom, it's simply hearing from God, hearing his thoughts, hearing his words, seeing what he wants. And Solomon got that as a gift. We get it as a gift because we get Jesus. And the Bible says he's our wisdom. Is that good news? And so for 2026, you may have some major things that's kind of been dangling in 25 that you say, what are we going to do? He's our wisdom. And he's promised us wisdom. And the sons of Issachar, they don't have anything over us because we get the full picture. We get Jesus. And there's different giftings even amongst us. The New Testament says there. Their chiefs were 200. They were small in number. But I want to tell you something. All their brethren were at their command. Now, let me tell you what this says. It doesn't mean that they were dictators. When all the brethren were in step together, they had vision. They knew what God wanted to do. This created a lot of power because it was unity. Unity is very, very important for Freedom Life Fellowship because it's our union with him that allows us to have unity with one another. And it's by grace. And so they spoke and they moved as one. Is that good news? And so they were given the ability to understand the times and have vision. And therefore they knew what to do and they could give direction. Now, I received some vision. I received some direction. It's kind of general. As a matter of fact, when the Lord gives me a word, like even for this year, acceleration, restoration, I get the vision of it, but it's like a big box that we would come and set on stage, and I thought about doing that. Setting a box on stage and say, that's all I got. The beauty of having a lead pastor, that's Tony Shoup, is that, and I'm not saying he don't have vision, he does have vision. His vision is more detailed and mine's more general. Hey, I'm telling you, I may see the box up here, but I don't have a clue what to do with it. The Lord's able to give Tony strategic wisdom on how to put wheels on the box and who to put around the box and who's going to help us with the box and make it happen. Is that good news? And so there's different strengths, different giftings in the body of Christ. We recognize this. Let's all say amen. And so we need the whole picture of Jesus, and that's why that we celebrate those with different giftings amongst us. We need it all. Let me say this. We need you. You have an important part. And so let me be clear, though. It's possible for you to know how to do something, be gifted to do something, have the anointing to do something, and miss the entire season of what God's doing. Example I have is with David. He missed the entire season of warfare. Okay, and this is out of 2 Samuel 11, 1. It was in the springs when the kings go out to battle. He didn't go. He said, I'm kind of bored. I'm going to stay around the place, around the castle. I'm going to play on my iPad. And he probably did because according to scripture, he was asleep during most of the day and woke up in the afternoon. In other words, he was probably up all night. Come on now. He missed the season. He didn't go out to conquer the enemy and advance the kingdom. He was bored. That's dangerous. Don't allow your Jesus life to get bored. Because if you allow your Jesus life to get bored, if your intimacy with him is not fresh and it's not there, and it can be because he paid for it, it ought to be because he paid for it. This is part of our birthright. But if it's not, if you're bored with Jesus, guess what? You can be bored with your mate. If you're bored with Jesus, if you're not satisfied with Jesus, you won't be satisfied with what you're doing or what you're not doing. It'll be hard for you to be satisfied in any area if you're not satisfied with Jesus. But if your walk with the Lord is fresh, if you have intimacy with him, it's easy for you to be thankful for your mate. It's easy for you to receive hope for what the Lord's doing in your life because it's fresh. It's a fresh wave of grace. That's for you and me. That's for our church. And so it's very, very important that we recognize this. David remained in Jerusalem. He was bored. And by being bored, he saw Bathsheba. Ha, ha, ha. Because she was bathing at the time. And so instead of conquering the enemy and advancing the kingdom, He filled his heart with conquering another man's wife and trying to advance the kingdom of his pleasure. And what happens is that as a result is destruction and death. And it doesn't just affect him, it affects the whole nation. Somebody say that's true.
That's true.
When we flow and simply follow the shepherd through the direction of the times that he has for us, we end up, because of favor, not because of our gifting, not because of our brain, not because of our bank account, but we'll end up in a place that's good and prosperous because that's the way of the Lord. That may not happen like we figure it. It may not measure the definition of the world, but how many of you know that there's a lot of people out there that have a lot of money, and I want to tell you something, they're lonely and they're hurting and they don't have family. They don't have healthy relationships. And so prosperity covers a whole lot more than ching ching. And you know that's true. And so here we go. God has great blessings and victory for Freedom Life Fellowship, for your family, for you. Here's the question. Are you going to see it? Are you going to perceive it? Are you going to receive it? Because that's what happens. Are we going to recognize it? Are we going to receive it? Are we going to respond to it? Okay. We're not dependent upon the world for victory. I've already had some leadership in one area that has said to me, well, we're cutting our budget back because of the economy, what the world's saying the economy is going to do in 26. And I told them, you know what? You're looking the wrong direction. Because our supply does not come from world economy. Superseding because of supernatural God, our supply comes from him. And so however the Lord chooses to do it, however he supplies, we need to get our eyes on the supply and not the demand.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Makes me want to preach on that in the future. I very well may. But there is worldly wisdom. Psalm 1 calls it ungodly wisdom. And you want Lord's wisdom. Matter of fact, a great prayer for you in 26. We're doing it as leadership. Be powerful for you to join together. And let's do this in unison that, Lord, we want your wisdom. We want your way. We want your work, not ours. And that's why we're going to refuse to compare ourselves to other churches or what they're doing or not doing. I want to tell you, it's our responsibility to follow the Lord. And to do what he says. Well, you can have the wisdom of God. How? Well, Psalm 1 tells us that. I'm just going to tell you. You delight in the Lord. Now see, that's where we rest for restoration. See, our receiving of the Lord comes from a heart that's at peace. That's resting in him. And resting is that picture of believing and trusting in him. As a matter of fact, New Testament says our battle has really come to the place where our heart is at rest and receiving and recognizing and responding to the Lord, trusting and believing. That's our place, our position of receiving. That's what we battle for. That allows the battle to be the Lord's and him to do supernaturally what we can't do naturally. That's what he loves to do. And I want to tell you, so how do we get that? Well, you delight in the Lord. You meditate on him and his word day and night. That's what Psalm says. And so instead of filling our mind with the stuff of the world, instead of filling our mind with this and that and who's doing this or that or the soap operas of the world, we need to fill our minds with Jesus. You say, brother, that sounds too simple. It's so true. Let's practice it for 26. And then we'll have a testimony service this time next year of what all God did that was way beyond us. Would you like that?
Yeah.
Heaven would too. Heaven would too. Psalm 1:3 is God's picture of you. Because it says this, if you'll delight in the Lord and you'll meditate on him in the word, he will cause you to be a success and to prosper. That's God's heart. That's God's picture of you. That's what God wants. Hey, no doubt the world's getting darker and darker. I'm not ignoring what's out there. It's just that I'm putting a higher priority on what God's doing versus what the world's doing. The world is getting darker and darker. Well, that's true. But Freedom Life Fellowship, your family, your journey can get brighter and brighter, brighter and brighter as the world gets darker and darker. Amen. That's in Isaiah 62 and 3. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, dense darkness on all peoples, but the Lord shall rise upon you. Say amen. I want that, Lord. And his glory shall be seen on you. Freedom Life Fellowship, say amen. And look what it says. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. That's Jesus factor. And that's what we want. It won't be by a personality. It won't be by some kind of gimmick that we do. The Lord may give us some practical things to apply, but I'm telling you, don't put an expectation on God for him to do it the same way in 26 that he's done in your life in the past. Don't limit God. Church, we can't limit God to the way the Lord worked and such and such. Hey, look, the methods may change, but the message has got to stay the same. Where it's just Jesus is the center, and it's all about him and bringing him honor and glory. God knows everything that's going to happen in 2026. I want to tell you, he wants you to have wisdom. It benefits you to rest in him and enjoy his presence and focus on his word, because that's how we receive his works. Come to church. Receive his benefits. You say, well, I know. Priority, put Jesus first. Have your family here at church to come and hear God and receive from God. It doesn't matter who's preaching. We got some great, I'm telling you, I love Tony Shoup's preaching. You know what? Since he's been on board, other pastors that would normally just listen to our message, my message, are listening to him. And you know what? It's thumbs up. Hey, we're in a great place. And you know what? We bring people from the outside, some of the best, amazing men of God that there is, that come through this pulpit. And you know what? We need to hear the message. If God, and I had someone recently, and I'm just going to tell you this. This was in the past. Don't ask me where. But they were introducing me. It was at a conference. They were introducing me. And I'll tell you what. I was enjoying what they were saying, and I didn't even recognize it was about me. I was going, wow, oh, man, whew, man, that's great. And then they said my name at the end on it. I got to tell you, it was just too much. And we don't do pastor worship here, okay? But I want to tell you something. It's important for you to be thankful for the ones God's using in your life. And we're to respect and to honor and to celebrate them. And you know what? It'll do your leadership a heaven of a lot of good for you to go up and say thank you, and I appreciate your words, I appreciate your works, thank you, because I want to tell you, it's one of the ways we're thankful to the Lord, being thankful for one another. But I want to tell you, I had to do this, I have a tendency to try to be cute sometimes, and it backfires, or to be funny, and it backfires, but when I got up to the pulpit, because man, they were applauding and clapping, and I would too, it's that kind of introduction, but I got up there, and I said, and then everything got real quiet, and I said, well, that's where my confidence is, because if the Lord can speak through a donkey, he can speak through me. So confidence is not in me, but it's in him. Well, I haven't used that since that time except for today, because it had about the same result. But I hope you understand what I'm saying. If God can use a donkey, and he can and he will. And I want to tell you something. God can use Tony Shoup. God can use TNT preaching. God can use any of these guys that stand up here with the word of God. Listen, you can hear from Tim and Tanya. God speaks through little ones.
Yes, he sure does.
And I want to tell you, if you come, it doesn't matter. You say, oh, well, that particular, you know, I don't like. No. You come to hear Jesus. And I want to tell you, if you come with a listening heart and a hungry heart, you'll get a word from the Lord. And that one word from the Lord, even though you may not embrace everything in the sermon, you get that word from the Lord, you're going to go a direction. And you're going to see the Lord begin to multiply in your life. And most likely, the freer you get, the more you're going to enjoy TNT preaching. I don't know. It's possible. Look at Joel. It's in your notes, Joel 2, 23, 25. Be glad. See, we got so much to rejoice over. Be glad, children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God. That ought to be a description. When people come to visit, they need to leave saying this: the joy of the Lord is in that place. I don't necessarily understand everything or agree with everything, but I want to tell you, those are some of the most joyful, glad, celebrating people I've ever been around, and it's like a magnet. I don't understand it, but I want to go back. That ought to be our description. For this is what the Lord does. See, it's because of what the Lord does. He gives the farmer early rain in just measure and in righteousness. He causes to come down for you the rain, the former and the latter rain as before. Look at the result. I want to tell you what the rain is. It's the refreshing and the renewing and the intimacy of the Lord to the overflow. How full is your cup? Because I want to tell you, the love of the Lord is flowing. How much of it are you receiving? Because I want to tell you, when you're receiving the overflow of His rain, hey, I want to tell you what comes out of you: praise and thanksgiving. And so that is like a determining factor of what's happening on the inside of you. And I want to tell you, just go there. Let Him love on you. Let Him minister to you. Let Him be that oasis in life that He wants to be for you. Because He will cause the rain, the former and the latter rain, to come. Let me tell you something. When you're receiving the rain of the Lord, you receive... Verse 24, and we don't grunt to make it happen. The threshing floors shall be full of grain. Boy, the Joseph team like to hear this. The threshing floors shall be full of grain, and vats shall overflow with juice. Now, I can't see that without seeing communion. I don't have to go there. I don't have time to go there. But I want to tell you, it's representing all that He is and all that He's done is what qualifies us to receive it. It's already been paid for. And the oil, who's the oil? Holy Spirit's the oil. And He says this: I will restore and replace for you the years the locusts have eaten. Now, I don't know what the enemy's been successful at stealing from you. He's stolen some things from my life in the past. What he's stolen from you. But I want to tell you, He can restore all the more what the enemy has stolen. Amen. Is that great news for you? Yes. I'm telling you, that's on His heart. Rain, receiving the rain, puts you in a position to receive restoration. Is that simple? Boy, it's true. Ecclesiastes 9:11 says this, and this was Solomon talking, and he is actually talking from a human viewpoint, not a spiritual viewpoint, but he said this: I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, the battle to the strong. Neither is the bread to the wise, nor riches to men of intelligence and understanding, nor favor to men of skill. But time and chance happen to them all. Now, I want to tell you, his recognition of what happened was right on target. And he said, it don't make sense. It's not the smartest. It's not the strongest. It's not the swiftest. It's not the most skilled. But I want to tell you, it looks like chance happening, but different ones that are not qualified like that get the favor and the blessing and the victory of the Lord. Amen. Now look, that ought to excite us, because I want to tell you something. We fit here. Let me tell you what chance happened to them all. Let me tell you what it is. First of all, the world describes it as luck. Don't use that term. They're operating off ungodly wisdom. They just think it's luck, or it's just a chance happening. But what Solomon wasn't seeing right then, that's true for you and me, is that, you know what? It's the Lord Jesus Himself that blesses with undeserved favor upon the just and the unjust. I want to tell you what He's famous for. God's famous for loving kindness. Mercy and loving kindness. And I'm telling you, even those out there that don't know Him are blessed by Him, and they don't see it. I want to tell you a big difference. We know why we're blessed. It's because of Jesus And I want to tell you something. We have a lot to receive and to rejoice in, and we have a lot to walk in. We know it's not luck. We know it's the providence of the Lord. It's the goodness of God because he's full of loving kindness. And so that's really what providence is the goodness and loving kindness. It's in your future. Psalm 23 describes that he chases us down. Like hounds, he chases us down with his loving kindness and his goodness. Hey, his unconditional love is chasing you down. That's good. We get the picture of Jesus being our Boaz and Boaz and Ruth. And I want to tell you something. Boaz instructed those that were around him, lay out the blessings in front of her so that on her path she comes across handfuls of blessing. And so we get a picture from the scripture, and Jesus is the unlimited supply. We get the picture that from behind and from before, he's ahead of you. He's already in front of you in 2026 and laying out blessings for your path. He's chasing you down in 2026 to provide unconditional love and loving kindness and favor to you. Is that great news?
Yes.
In front and in back, that's your Lord. It's unmerited favor. So let me say it like this. He is manipulating time and happenings for your good and for his glory. That's what Romans 8 talks about. And we know that that's true, that he'll work every event and circumstances for your good and his glory. And there's a very important part in there, that those that are called according to his purpose means that you're following him. You're receiving the rest. You're receiving and walking in his love, his intimacy. And I want to tell you, God makes it happen. And the world may look at you and say, man, you one lucky dude, man. You say, no. It's unmerited favor. It's the grace of God. It's the loving kindness of God. And I want to tell you, say, well, what about the time factor here? Because, man, it's been many years. Oh, wait. Only God can redeem the time. He can accelerate time. He can suspend time. Boy, I got a sermon on that. He can reverse time. Because time, and I want to announce to you why. Because he created time. He's the authority over time. And I want to tell you, he can command time. Okay? The Lord sees where he wants you to go, where he wants us to go in 26. And I want to tell you, this is from the Word. The destination is good. It's prosperous. It's victorious. It doesn't mean that we won't have mountains. Don't mean that we won't have giants. I mean, I have to get there today. But in 2026, God wants us to rest in him. God wants us to enjoy him. And I want to tell you, it's to focus on him one step at a time, my friend. In other words, what is God doing this year? Yes, that's important to know. What is God doing today? Powerful question. Lord, what are you saying to me today? Lord, what are you doing today? And one step at a time, guess what? He'll lead you through 2026 to a higher level than ever before. That's him. A higher level of knowing him. The benefits that come from enjoying him are stupendous. They're bigger than you can imagine. They're amazing. The greater intimacy that we enjoy with him can result, listen to me, in gates opening for you where you have greater relationship with people than you've ever had before. Maybe restoration with someone that's been estranged to you than ever before. This is something that God does, that God can do. He loves it. And I want to tell you, you can have greater love life with your wife than ever before. That's because of Jesus. And it's one step at a time to breakthroughs. And I'm just going to give you a couple examples and I got to wrap up. But it goes like this. The first one is came to my mind was the first miracle that he did was at the wedding of Cana of Galilee. And it was on the third day. As a matter of fact, I'm going to say this to Tony and to TD too. There's a sermon about the third day. Man, I saw some theme through scripture about the third day. If y'all don't preach on it, I'm going to. But I'm telling you, there's something there. But it goes like this. On the third day at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, the mother of Jesus was there. It said out of John 2. Jesus was there. His disciples were invited. And the mother said to the servants, because they ran out of wine. Now you say, well, what's the big deal? I'm going to tell you, bottom line, it would have been an embarrassment to this young couple getting married. Yeah. It'd be kind of like saying, oh, you're going to get married, but you can't afford your marriage license? Here's a problem there. That's what they happening. They were going to get married and ran out of wine. It would have been an embarrassment. You say, well, that's not a major. Well, I want to tell you something. Mary had compassion for it. I don't think it was on Jesus' calendar from what I read and his response to her. I think he was kind of telling his mama, you know, back off. It's between me and the Lord. But it went like this. She had compassion for the situation. He had compassion because of her compassion. Man, I think that speaks. What hits you with compassion? Then I want to tell you something. Jesus is already there. You say, well, it's out of calendar. Well, he moves by compassion. He does move by calendar, but he moves by compassion. And this is what she told him, and this is powerful. Whatever he says to you, do it. I want to tell you what she said. Hear Jesus and do what he says. And let's watch what happens. I think that's good for us. Okay? Hey, it's the path of righteousness. The scripture promises us that the Lord will lead us on paths of righteousness. It starts out with our heart being yes to him, but it also requires some yes in our action. Man, we got to do that. We got to be willing to put a step out there to it. Okay? Hey, this is where supernatural shows up. When we are enjoying his love, we hear his words, and we put them into practice, even if it's one step. And I'm saying that to you because it did not make sense for those guys, those servants, to fill up those jugs with water. That's not how you do wine. Okay, now I don't know much about wine, and it's probably to my advantage. But I had someone at the house last year that I was fellowshipping with that was an expert on wine. Well, not really. His brother was the expert, but he had learned a lot. And there was a whole lot I didn't know. But he began to teach me about wine. And basically it went something like this. Did you know that it takes about 5 years of a vine making grapes before the grapes are good enough for real good wine? I said, no, that sounds like, you know, that's rough. And he said, then after that, it's about 5 years later that same vine will make the best wine. 10 years. Man, I'm adding it up. And they said, after that, it's best if it's reserved and kept for 5 more years. It gets better and better. And I'm thinking, of course, with me, I'm thinking, Jesus accelerated time. 15 years of time, because the guy that was hosting the party said, this is the best stuff right here. Now, I want to tell you something. Those guys filled up. And if you think that Jesus just barely supplies enough, from what I could see in Scripture, it was between 120 and 150 gallons. Okay? I don't know what kind of party you attend, but they were already out. But we're looking at least 120 gallons at the smallest. Now, let me tell you how Jesus redeemed time of 15 years to be the best wine this host had ever had. He walks by, and just the glory of his presence, the glory of his presence expedites and redeems the time and turns water into the best wine they had ever had. Now look, if he can do that in order to keep a young couple from getting embarrassed, what will he do for us? For his honor and glory. Because that's really the definition of a miracle, is when he releases his glory on a situation. Because a Jesus miracle supersedes the natural. Somebody say amen to that. And so that's what he loves to do. That's what he can do and what he wants to do. The second miracle is this, and I'm finished. It was the healing of the nobleman's son. And it was just a few days later, back to Cana of Galilee. This is out of John 4, and it's in the 40s. But this man, having heard, see, that's an important part. He'd have never had the hope of what Jesus could do for his dying one without the hope. And the hope comes from hearing. Do you get that? And so practice hearing and hearing and hearing the words of Jesus, the messages. And Jesus will give you hope for what he wants to do big time in your life. And so this is what happened. He came and heard that Jesus was back in Galilee. And so he traveled from Capernaum, that's 25 miles, to just appeal to Jesus. And this is what Jesus said to him. So look, it's 25 miles away and the guy's dying. His kid's dying. And this is what Jesus said to him. Go in peace. Does that speak about rest? Yeah, it does. Restoration is from rest in him. It's in the word. But we rest. We fill our heart with him. Peace, vision, hope, love. And you know what? The Lord takes that hope. And you know what? We put a step to it. Because he told the man, you go in peace. Your son lives. So I want to tell you, I believe this, that he was so much at peace that he didn't travel all night. He got him a room between the two places. And I want to tell you, the next day as he's traveling, his people come to meet him. And so they meet and they give a glowing report. He's alive. He lives. He's healed. It's a supernatural event. You say, wait a minute, Jesus wasn't there. He's not limited by space. Yeah. Let this be in your heart. There is no distance between you and him. Amen. Jesus paid the price for that distance to be forever closed off. He's forever present. And so basically what happens, the man asked the people, hey, what time did that happen? They said, the seventh hour. It was 1 o'clock. He said, oh, that's the very time Jesus spoke it. Amen. Distance does not limit Jesus. Don't you love that? And so he's the Lord of distance and time. And so I've got to stop. I'll pick this up in February, but it goes like this. He loves to put his supernatural on our natural. Don't limit God. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to birth in our heart a dream that by the world's words are impossible. Because today, I'm telling you in 26, this, and if I miss, even if I miss by a lot, this is going to be great. A great year for us. But I want to tell you, he wants to accelerate restoration in our life. He wants to make it happen. I'm going to read this declaration that I got back in the summer when I was praying over 2026. I'm just going to read this and I'm done. The declaration of our church goes like this. Just Jesus, no comparisons. Just thanksgiving, no complaints. By grace, believe and receive. No excuses. We are content but not complacent. We're hungry and thirsty for the much more of God. Freedom Life Fellowship is a church of destiny. We will fulfill our calling in the kingdom to be the bride of Christ that looks like, sounds like, and acts like Jesus. We have his name, power, purpose, peace, and passion. We have his spirit. We live like he is present. Let's all shout, he is. We worship like we know we are in his presence. Shout, we are.
We are.
In 2026, we're a church of destiny because of how big God is and how good God is. It's time for us to be who we are. It's time for us to possess our possessions that he paid for. Let's give the Lord honor and glory. Amen.